Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Want your most burning finance and investing questions answered? Here's a podcast you should be listening to, courtesy of Acast Recommends.
Are you ready for some personality in your personal finances? Hi, I'm Janice Torres Rodriguez, Latina money expert and host of the award-winning podcast, Yo Quiero Dinero. On this show, we're serving up POC-friendly personal finance knowledge, always with a side of sass. We're not talking about avocado toast and lattes on this show. We've got real, relatable personal finance knowledge that makes you feel seen, heard, and finally understood. Consider me your super cool, slightly risque, but always honest financial fairy godmother. Together, we'll tackle dinero in a fresh new way so you can finally become poderosa with your dinero. Check out our weekly podcast episodes at YoQuieroDineroPodcast.com or subscribe wherever you listen to podcasts.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.
Hello and welcome back to Sofa Cinema Club. I'm Colson Smith, and as always, I'm joined by
Jack P. Shepherd,
Ben Axel.
The Sofa Cinema Club is our podcast where we get together to educate each other on films. Now, it is all about the films we should have seen, but we haven't. Each week, we set a film for the others to watch, then we come into the studio and we talk about what we loved, hated, and rated about the film. Now, the beauty of our film club is that anybody can join in. All you have to do is watch along with the film at home and then join us every Thursday to find out what we thought of the film. This week's film is The Worst Person in the World, and it has been chosen by Ben. But before we get into talking all things The Worst Person in the World, as always, how's your week been? What have you been up to? Straight off, the big news, we've not been home, have we? We've kept the party going.
I'm still on stage.
I've still got the same underwear on.
Tell me, Ben, Friday night, what did we get up to?
Friday night, first live show! Yeah.
The reviews are in.
What a night. Five stars, The
Guardian.
Five stars
in the Metro. Five stars in the Metro.
Can't think of a better podcast night, the FT.
These lads are going places.
GQ were there.
FHM.
The Face were there. They were up.
Gold. Manchester Evening News. Yeah, brilliant, wasn't it? Brilliant.
We had a very, very enjoyable night, didn't we?
Yeah, we did. It was nice to put some faces to some people that we've given jobs to.
We were basically in a room with 120 of our loyalist fans and listeners, weren't we?
Which, some people had travelled, Newcastle.
Some people
Derby.
Really had travelled.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. The lad who did the synopsis come from Jarrah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Fair trek, that.
People had taken a half day off work on Friday to come and watch us. That's dedication.
Mm. We had it all, didn't we? Wine gums, T-shirt giving out.
Yep. People took home some mugs, didn't they? They were all happy with. And it was nice that they were sort of shouting along to like some of our catchphrases.
What's
that
so weird, isn't it, is that now, for all these years, we've been doing this with, obviously, our producer, Henry, who can only laugh so much at our jokes. But then when you do it in front of a live audience, see how much people got into the podcast and knew the bit we were going to do next and what normally we do and how we announce. We had a quiz section, didn't we?
Yeah, that was good.
It was nice for me because as I was kind of linking stuff, I could see people's reactions to what was coming up next. And like, people got excited that they got to guess Chad Charts.
Chad Charts.
And then people were like, we get to guess.
Yeah, yeah. I heard when you were going, now it's a would you rather's that we do on ET.
Yes.
I heard someone go, oh, I love this bit.
Do you?
Yeah,
did you?
Yeah.
I thought it was a good would you rather.
Yeah.
It was a good. I had a lot of pressure on that would you rather. But you're right. Even when I was reading out Guatemala City, how many listened to Guatemala City, it's the way the audience went,
ooh, yeah. It's a big
thinking.
One.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Like, well, yeah. I haven't been there for a while, but ooh, I don't know. Like, it's a thing.
Yeah, I think it was really enjoyable for us three to kind of know that, you know, you guys do, you know, you love the podcast.
Yeah, it was really listen. Nice. Really, really nice.
And I think the three of us loved putting the show on. And we can't wait to tell you what we've got planned next.
Tell you
really,
what, decent
we?
Length on show, that, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Decent. Over, what was it?
We overran by 40 minutes in the first half.
I think we did a full, including interval, 2.5 hours.
Is that too long?
No, do you know what? You were laughing along. By the end,
everyone were out by 10, weren't they?
Yeah.
And
yeah.
If you're out the theatre by 10, you're okay.
We were off stage at 9:30.
Right, well, you take that.
The Hoedown Throwdown started playing at 9:30.
Yeah. There we go.
There's a spoiler alert.
We had 15 minute encore.
Yeah.
Then we're off.
And if you feel like you've missed out on the fun, there is going to be more opportunities to watch us live. We're hoping that in the new year, we kind of do get some more shows, some bigger shows.
Could go bigger venue, platforms. I'm thinking. Could go bigger
Did we
venue.
Record this show, though, that we might put out somewhere?
Yeah. So as soon as this series is finished, we're going to release the live show as a special.
Oh, okay.
For
that's
everyone
good.
To listen
that's
to.
Great.
And I know Ollie was also filming some of it, yeah. So there's some videos, so it's
done really good.
I think in the new year, you're going to get a little bit of a sneak peek at what it was like to be at the live show,
yeah,
and
great.
Probably a trailer for the next live show.
Yeah. Yeah, it was really great. We loved it. We really did, and thanks everyone for coming.
So, as we're coming to the end of the series, and we've got Christmas break, I've got a holiday coming up.
Yeah.
Oh, you have?
So, I had to race home on Sunday night, because I've got a holiday coming up and I've not planned it. And so I'm going to New Zealand, yeah?
Yeah.
And whenever I go to New Zealand, my family's there. So I normally just go and...
When are you off there?
I go on the 21st of December.
A month.
Yeah. But I've had to come up with a plan. Like, I've had to come up with an itinerary, because this time I'm going with two mates. Mm. So it's not just...
Flying economy.
Me, yeah. And do you know what, Ben? Because times are hard, it's a... free plane trip.
Oh.
So it's Manchester, Munich, Munich to San Fran, San Fran to Auckland.
Oh, you're off that way.
Auckland to Palmerston North. It's four flights.
You're off
flights.
That way.
Yeah. Because I was going...
Hang on. Munich to San Francisco.
So...
No, that's bollocks. You've been dealt a shit straw.
Someone's
there.
Gone. Get the deck of cards, the flight deck of cards. End up there,
the
but here, send him round the other way. It's like Chad Charles.
Yeah,
he's made it up.
Get
that's
this.
Bollocks.
Because of obviously he's COVID and everything being shut off, because New Zealand's finally opened up, when I booked this, I knew that I really wanted to go and I had to book it. So I didn't have any options. And Emirates weren't flying. I'm having to fly with Lufthansa, Air New Zealand. They were only flying from London, which is $4,000, or from Munich. So I'm doing Manchester to Munich, and my international flight technically is Lufthansa, Air New Zealand, and starts. Because Munich's a very large international airport.
Yeah.
I've worked in Munich.
Have you?
Lovely city.
It's a clown.
Is that where you did
I juggled the streets of Munich on a unicycle.
Is that where you did the Audi TT advert?
No, that was in Spain. It was in a desert in Spain.
Oh, Munich ain't got deserts, has
no,
it?
No, it hasn't, no.
So, yeah, Spain.
I've got a long flight, and then I've got flights when I get there, and now I've had to come up with an itinerary. But the big thing is, so one of my mates who I'm going with, Tom, loves Lord of the Rings and loves The Hobbit.
Oh.
Now, obviously, we're a film podcast. I've never seen him.
You've got to go round the old
houses. Yeah, we've got to go to Hobbit World.
Hobbit World.
It's not called Hobbit World.
What's it called?
It's called Hobbiton.
Yeah.
And
is it?
I called it Hobbit World, and Tom's like, don't say that, it makes it sound well geeky. And I was like...
Oh, well, Hobbiton sounds fine.
So, yeah, got to go into Hobbiton.
You're going to Hobbiton. Do you go into a room that makes you look really tall, like Gandalf?
I don't know.
Do you wear the feet? I'll find out.
He's already got them.
Open toe, hairy toes.
Oh my word, I've never seen them in the flesh. Can you take them off?
No, they're real. Do you want to know what's on the old itinerary?
No,
do you want to know what I've got on?
Kick off. I know you're going to probably do some kind of bungee.
Well, I technically don't need to do the bungee.
You've done it.
I've done it.
Yeah.
But I've said to my two mates, I've done it. You've got to do it.
Yeah.
So there's the bungee.
Wine tasting.
There's the luge. Do you know what a luge is?
Luge.
Yeah.
Luge.
Yeah.
Luge.
You know what that is?
Yeah. On a T-track. On a... Like go a, down go, a hill.
Yeah. Go-kart.
Yeah, yeah.
Zorbing. You know what a Zorbs is.
Yeah.
Yeah. I've done that.
Do you know what? It is an
action
pack.
So were you three sat together? You on separate flights?
We sat together.
Oh,
we
okay.
Sat together.
That's not too bad.
No, yeah. We're all... It's all booked through.
That's probably 30-odd hours. Must be, because if it's 24 hours and you're going on...
It's only like, I think it's about 28. It's not too bad. Originally, we were going by it.
I know, but it might be better if it is four separate flights.
So basically...
Because at least you're standing up and moving about.
You've got to stop over.
And the thing that's weird is we leave. This is what's really weird, yeah? So we leave New Zealand on the 14th of January.
Oh, my birthday.
Yeah.
And you come back
at midnight, and we get to LA on the 13th of January.
Yeah.
Jack's birthday is going to be the longest day of my life.
You're going to get double birthday. You want to go with them? You get two birthdays.
Yeah. I'll text you twice.
So you go when?
For the entire week, you'd be getting texts from me that say happy birthday.
When do you go? December the what?
December the 22nd, we leave.
Oh, so you're in New Zealand for Christmas Day?
Yeah, we land on the 23rd. We get to Palmy about 2 o'clock on the 23rd. So I've got the night of the 23rd, then it's Christmas Eve. So it's straight in, straight to the family on the 23rd. So I have got 28 hours on a plane. So I'm going to have a lot of films to watch.
Yeah.
Maybe I could get some help from the people at home with what I watch on.
28 hours. Well, no, you'd need 14. Probably need 10 films.
Well, do I watch The Lord of the Rings and The Hobbits?
You might as well. I mean, those Hobbit ones are a bit shit.
Are they?
Yeah.
Is it better to watch it so I know what's going on?
No, it's just fucking...
No, you don't need to watch them.
Is your mate there? Will he give me a tour around...
Oh, Gandalf.
Will he give me a tour around Hobbit World? Will you send him a text?
Can you imagine? It's like the tour, and you just go, oh, and here's a... And he's going to take you... I can't even imagine what it is, because it's all made up, isn't it? They must have built them for the,
for the film.
It's set that's built that stayed.
Oh...
Well, we're not talking about Lord of the Rings this week, are we? We're talking about the worst person in the world. And Ben, are you ready to give us a synopsis?
Yeah. I think it's quite hard.
I thought it was going to be like a four-word synopsis.
Yeah, I'm trying to do it. I'm trying to do it as small as I can. Worst person in the world. A young woman battles her indecisiveness in love and life.
Sounds shit. From that, I mean, you haven't sold it, have you?
How would you sell it, Jack?
I would probably say it's a romantic comedy.
It's not romantic.
Well, it isn't, is it?
No. It's a romantic comedy for people who don't like romantic comedies.
Yeah, it's a take on real life in the day and age of today's society. I think it is.
Yeah, but yours has gone right ropey there. It's a rom-com, but it's not.
Yeah.
In today's society.
Yeah.
So how would you describe it, Cos? I think it's hard to describe.
It's a love story about the element of love.
Oh,
it's not a love story.
It's not a love story.
Because that's...
Yeah, but it is a love story.
She battles all the way through. Her life.
It's a narcissistic love story.
Yeah, but yeah. She's indecisive. She can't commit to anything.
Yeah.
Anyway, as we talk through the film, we'll see, won't we?
So, firstly, why have you picked this film?
Because I thought...
Because it's on Mubi and they sponsor us.
No, actually, it's because we did that Mubi thing.
And it
came up and you said, oh, I hadn't seen
it.
And then I thought to myself, in all seriousness... Going forward with the podcast, me and Jack are likely to start clashing a bit with our film choices. And maybe I should start into some things that I think you should have seen recently. And I knew you hadn't seen it, and I'm pretty sure Jack hadn't. So I thought to myself, maybe that's a way for me to go for another couple of series. This film had a big impact on me when I first saw it because I didn't know anything about it. I have to do this voting thing, so I was sent it before it had come out. And it's quite a nice way of watching films because...
Well, I purposefully did that with this film because I Googled the title, what you told me it was, and then the trailer popped up and I pressed play and before, like, you know, the... before it showed anything
of the trailer,
the
reviews.
I immediately stopped it because it said she won the won the not the Palme d'Or but the Cannes Film Festival Best Actress for this film.
Yeah,
and as soon as I saw that, I thought actually I don't want to know anything about
it. I'm just going to watch it.
I don't know anything about it. I'm just going to go in with an open mind. And
so all I knew was it was a Norwegian film.
So I guess when you're watching all those films to vote on, you literally. The films aren't released. There's no reviews on them. No one's sat doing podcasts on them. Nobody's. There's no write-ups
Although,
on them.
What's interesting is certain films...
There's a buzz around.
There's a buzz. Parasite buzz.
Okay.
But this one, there probably had been a buzz because it had been at Cannes, but I hadn't. And I thought, oh, I'll put it on. And the opening shot of her smoking a cigarette is really interesting. So that's why I kind of got into it. And then it starts off, you just think you're following this girl and she wants to be a doctor. She's smart, bright. She wants to be a doctor. Then she gives it up, doesn't she? Then she says, oh, actually, I don't want to be a doctor. I want to be a psychiatrist. Then she says, well, actually, I don't want to be a psychiatrist. I want to be a photographer.
You instantly get the impression that she's very indecisive and non-committal, don't you?
And once she achieves it or thinks she will achieve it,
she gives up.
She wants something else. And I thought, oh, that's interesting. That's an interesting premise.
Yeah.
So it kind of got me hooked without having to do very much. It's not bells and whistles.
No.
Her performance is amazing, I think.
So the actress who plays Julie...
Yes.
It's her who won the award. She's a main character. And the actress, Renata, she was ready to give everything up before this film, wasn't she?
Apparently so, yeah.
Oh, was she?
Yeah, she couldn't get a lot of work or nothing that was... quite concrete, and I think she trained as a carpenter, I think she was.
Oh, I didn't know.
And she'd renovated a house, and she was going to go into that, carpentry. But the director of the film is a friend of hers, and he met and sat and spoke with her and immediately came up with the idea for this film, having just talking through life, love, and all that with her. And he went away and wrote this film for her.
Wow.
And then went, here's the part, I've got an idea, can you do this?
Oh, brilliant.
And she was like, all right.
Yeah.
So we see the character of Julie in three jobs and two relationships.
Yeah.
The first relationship is with a famous comic book artist and writer.
Yeah.
And his character is called Axel. And he's, like I said, he's big time and successful, but he's older than her.
He's 44.
Yeah.
And
she's just about to be 30.
Okay.
So she's had... previous relationships.
She had flings. She's very non-committal, isn't she?
And then what you get is, very early from that, is that he turns around, they sleep together, they meet, they sleep together, and then in the morning he says, there's too much of an age gap. It's not going to work. It was great, but I can already see we're going to start wanting different things. She leaves, and then in the film she says, and it was at that moment I fell in love with him. So as soon as she couldn't have him or have that thing, then she fell in love with him.
And she kind of, you know, his worry is that he's going to fall in love with her before she is. He's going to want different things to what she is. And that kind of prevails, isn't it? Because we kind of see him in his element with his family. And he clearly wants kids. He clearly wants a life.
And she ends up working in a bookshop, doesn't she?
Yeah.
She gives up the photography and goes to work.
She goes to work
there as
like a stopgap, doesn't she? Something in her life while she works out what she wants to do.
Yeah.
Yeah. And there's one night where they're kind of at the premiere or the book launch for Axel's new book. And she leaves early.
Yeah.
And on the way leaving this party, she just crashes a wedding, doesn't she?
Yeah. There's a really nice moment there when she asks for a cigarette and the camera keeps on her. She gets the cigarette and she looks into the party, looks at the girls, looks into the party and goes, fuck it. I'm not invited. I'll go in. There was a really nice moment that the director captured in her head, go, fuck it, I've got nothing else to do.
Yeah.
She gate crashes that party, doesn't she?
And she meets a character at this party, Ivand.
Yeah.
And really, you see them go through so much in one night. They're both in relationships.
Yeah.
They both say they're in relationships, yes, don't they?
And they but don't want to have an affair.
There's a chemistry and something, and a connection.
It's how far can they push it
without cheating?
What's lovely is when you see those bits filmed when they're getting close, it feels like he's really filmed a party with two people getting close but don't want to do anything.
And the party's still going off at the same time. And the film's in chapters,
isn't it? Lights the coats on the bed in one of the bedrooms.
Yeah.
And they're in there trying to have a conversation, just talking shit, basically. And everyone keeps coming in to collect their coat because they're leaving and they're sat on their coats.
Yeah, that was good. And then the bit when she said, "Can I smell your sweat?"
Yeah.
They watch each other wee.
Yeah.
Because they're basically saying, "I really like you. Let's do everything you can possibly do that's non-sexual to not cheating." And it's like...
Tricky wee, that, I think. That's a tricky wee.
Be nervous. She farts. Be nervous.
She farts, but he just can wee. I'm thinking, I don't think I could just wee.
I think the idea is that they cross the line very early with thinking they're not crossing the line, don't they?
Yeah, she takes a drag from a cigarette and he inhales
Great
the smoke.
Great shot. Yeah,
she blows the smoke into his mouth.
They're cheating without cheating.
Well, I suppose the part of it is it's the mental cheating rather than the physical.
Yeah.
So mentally they've bonded and physically they can just go, nothing happened.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then they leave each other, don't they?
They say that on the street corner. Nothing happened.
Yeah.
But they both know that something's happened.
Yeah.
Because they both know mentally they're there with each other.
I wondered on that shot, you know, when you follow her and you have him in the background.
Well, you know why they've done that.
What?
That's the Meet Joe Black shot, isn't it?
Oh, is it?
Yeah, when they leave the party,
yeah,
she's walking off and he's walking off.
Yeah.
It's the Meet Joe Black when
she looks back
and he's not looking and he looks back and she's not looking.
Oh, God.
That's why I was expecting him to get run over. Because then it would be Meet Joe Black.
Yeah, why does he get run over?
Brad Pitt gets run over, doesn't he, when he's crossing the road?
I've not seen it.
The beginning of the film.
I've not seen it.
Good spot. I wondered, I thought I'd seen it before. Mm, that shot, I was like, he set that shot. So that makes sense.
And then, what's your verdict on The Dreamscape, which is actually the trailer for the film? So when she wakes up one morning and Axel is making her coffee.
We've jumped a bit, haven't we? Because
that's when she decides to go back.
When she
hasn't left her boyfriend yet.
No, that's not what I'm saying.
Oh, what are you on about?
Where everyone's frozen.
Yeah.
Yeah. So they leave each other, don't they?
Yeah.
And so there's a gap where she thinks she's never going to see him again.
Yeah.
And then she's working in the bookshop.
And she sees him.
And he comes in. And then she's like, oh, fuck, it's him. Mm. And she's like, oh, fuck, but he's with his girlfriend.
Yep.
Then he goes out and he comes back in. He goes, I've just told her I forgot my glasses. I really want to see you. And she's kind of coy and he goes, I work at this bakery.
Mm.
I'm there all the time. I work there.
Mm.
And it's all nervous and whatever. Mm. Then we get to the bit where...
She decides to leave her boyfriend, doesn't she? And she breaks his heart.
And she clicks the light. And then you're talking about the shot you're talking about.
Yeah. Which it goes into this kind of dreamscape element where everyone's frozen, which is the trailer for the film.
Oh, right. Okay.
So her running through the streets to go and find him and then meet him and to kind of have the moment with him.
How do you think that scene was shot?
With them all being frozen.
Yeah, and her obviously moving.
Some of it is them just standing there, frozen, definitely in some shots.
But and I'm going to have a guess as to what I think.
Photos layered with video.
I think they've...
they're like your wax
frame by frame... They've edited it so that they've filmed it and they've sort of stood there and then frame by frame they have frozen them and kept them there frame by frame. Because if you do look closely, they do move, but they're only moving, I think, as the shot's moving.
So when the light clicks, he's not frozen. He's freezing himself.
But the coffee, Ben.
Yeah, they've stuck it because it cuts. You can see the cut. They cut it and then they cut it back. And then when she moves the girl's arm onto that boy's butt.
Yeah, that is, yeah.
But there's one shot that's definitely, they've used it because the lad's balancing on a bike, turning a corner on a bike, and that has been frozen. So I think he's mixed them.
It's very clever because when I watched the trailer of that, that was the bit that stood out to me. And that's 2.5 minutes in the film. But it's probably what people will remember this film by.
What do you mean 2.5 minutes into the film?
No, it's
no of the film.
It's 2.5 minutes of the film.
Oh, right.
But isn't that clever that she uses that time, doesn't she, the dreamscape time, to go to the bakery, see him, have the kiss.
And do you believe that has actually happened?
No.
Or do you believe that's a dream?
It hasn't happened, has it?
No. But
I was trying to explain this to the girlfriend and a sister and a mum. We all watched it as a other night. And she was going, yeah, she has. She's just... And I went, no, because he's used... The director there has cleverly used that time has stood still. She's gone in her head and met him in the coffee shop. And it's a moment in time that she decides to leave her husband, her boyfriend, to go and have this separate life.
And then once it clicks back, the light kicks back, something has changed forever for her.
You know, it's the question of, is she in love with the person, or is she now in love with the idea of being in love with the person?
It's the it's not so much the person, it's the idea of the free spirit, the guy who just works in a coffee shop. He's my age. We both want, you know, different things. We're both easygoing.
Yes.
And the thing is that she, I think she sees with Axel, is it Axel or Askel? Is that
Axel?
He's got the career.
It can be whatever you want. It's a subtitled film, isn't it? It's however you read it. Yeah. I read it as Axel.
Yeah.
He's got the career. And that, I suppose, when she's at these events, it's all heavily about him.
But it's also a bit more serious, isn't it? What she avoids in her life is when it gets serious, when it gets to a crux. When she talks, because you've got that interesting bit which you missed, which is that relationship to her father.
Yeah.
The question is she looking for, at times, a father figure? Because she has this really strange relationship with her father who won't go to her birthday. He's got a second family. Then when they do go round, starts talking about his prostate, about how he's going for a wee in the middle of the night. And then he lies about not being able to go to her birthday, says, I've got a bad back. Then his young daughter runs in and goes,
it's from obviously a different relationship.
Different relationship. Yeah. I'm sorry you couldn't come to the tournament. So there's also that father relationship going on.
She's wearing the jacket that he's just got for the daughter, hasn't he? It starts that scene when she's opening up the present that her dad's got her, and it's like a sports jacket. Yeah. She's like, oh, it's great, Dad. And he's like, yeah, it's great. And then when his daughter comes back from football practice, she's got the same one on. So he's not giving much thought into... Yeah.
He's buying them all the same.
So the new relationship, it's funny. As soon as it gets a bit serious, she either feels it's going to let her down or she'll let it down. So then this guy in the bread shop, the coffee shop, is perfect. Exactly. You say, there's going to be no strings.
But she kind of breaks Axel's heart, doesn't she? She leaves him. She has this relationship with the man that she met at the wedding. They kind of move in together. Their life progresses, but... It doesn't take long for you to realise that...
Well, she writes that piece, doesn't she? She's hyper-talented, and she watches him drawing, and he ignores her, and then she starts to write a piece about the female and feminism and how she feels. And then she shows it to him, and he goes, oh, this is extraordinary. This is fantastic. You must get it published. And then with the new boyfriend, he finds it, he reads it, and goes, yeah, it's fine, it's nice. And in that moment, she realises she's not going to get an intellectual pushback from him. Yeah. So she's got all the fun and games, but no intellectual pushback.
Yeah.
Mm. And I think that's the moment she goes, oh, fuck, this isn't going to work.
Yeah. She's quite hurtful to him, isn't she?
Yes.
She says annoyed. Some really, really hurtful things to him. Because she's left... The guy with the career and the driven and the intellectual guy to go out with the free spirit, the carefree sort of younger guy who might have the occasional magic mushroom.
Yes. It's a bit more free.
Yeah.
But can't intellectually stimulate
He reads that piece and says it's really good. And she sort of says, what do you know about it? You're just a bum in like a coffee shop. Yeah. You'd be working there until you're 50. And it's really hurtful what she says to him.
Yeah.
I think he says sorry.
Yeah.
She's clearly not happy in the relationship. And as that kind of progresses more, she stumbles across Askel's sister's husband.
Yes, because they go away to a summer retreat, don't they? And then he turns up in the bookshop.
And she says, how is he? And he says, don't you know, he's got cancer.
Yeah.
And then she kind of goes to see him. And they kind of rekindle their they kind of rekindle their love and friendship. Mm. As
there's a love there, and it's gone, the actual romantic part, but the intellectual and love between them is still there.
Yeah.
And that's what he needs, doesn't he?
Yeah.
He needs to... And she says, let's go back to where you were born or where you grew up. Let's take photos of you. Let's try and remember. Because he's saying, I'm not going to be remembered. And then she sits in the hospital. It's quite painful because that morning she finds out she's pregnant.
Yeah.
Yeah. Which is what he wanted.
Which is what he wanted. Kids. Yeah. He wanted kids.
And it can't. The film leaves you wondering for a little while whether she's keeping the baby or not, doesn't it?
Yeah, and then she loses the baby in the shower.
Yeah, which is.
And he says you're going to be a great mum, doesn't he? And it's the right time for you, and I'm going to go, and I couldn't have been there for you anyway, type thing, because I'm about to die. But you realise she's left then
with nobody,
with no one, and not that maybe what could have been the love of her life, he's gone.
Yeah.
And then the other guy, he's gone, and she's left how she was at the start, having not committed to anyone.
And then even as the film ends sort of thing, it goes into, like I said, the film's in chapters, and the last chapter is like the prologue, isn't it?
Yeah.
No, epilogue.
The last chapter is the epilogue, and it's her back taking stills on a movie set.
Yeah.
With a girl, and she says to the girl, I'm just going to do some stills, are you okay? And she says, no, I don't think I was very good in that. And she says, perfect, let's use it in the photos. Does the photos, lovely stills, clearly quite good at her job. And then she sees this girl go. And the girl who is the actress, she watches her walk away and she's with Ivan and they've got a kid together.
And he didn't want kids.
Yeah.
And she's young.
Yeah. Mm.
And it's almost like she's imagined what this girl's like as an actress. She couldn't quite get it and whatever. And then cleverly, as she leaves the film set, she sees her real life, which is this young woman with a baby with the boyfriend she left. So she's lost two relationships.
Did you know it's the last film in a trilogy?
Oh, is it?
Yeah. I didn't know that. Yeah, didn't I think know that.
And worst person in the world is a saying. So it's like something you go, oh, I'm just the worst person in the world. Yeah. You made a mistake.
Yeah.
And that's where it comes from.
But do you think she is? Watching this, did you hate her? Did you think, oh my God, you're awful?
No, I didn't. I thought, what a painful way of finding out that through your father and through your childhood. Because there's a very interesting bit where she goes back through all the her great-grandmother, her grandmother, yes. great-great-grandmother. They've all had children young.
Yeah.
And some of them being left on their own.
And that was their only job in life, it seems, to have children and die.
And sometimes the father died or the father wasn't there. I felt for her. I genuinely felt for her. I thought she was a victim of her family circumstance and her.
Do you not think it's the day as the world that we sort of grow up in now? Because even he talks about when he grew up in like the 70s and the 80s, that something that he liked to do was to go to the shop and
buy records
or buy comics and take them home. And the part of the fun was comparing them.
Yeah.
And he said it so beautifully in the film. He says, you don't even buy the songs now.
Yeah.
We press the songs.
Yeah.
So we don't even get the physical song, the CD, the tape, or anything to compare and have a collection to. We just press them.
Yeah.
So you don't get the actual thing.
You don't even buy. So when I was younger, when you bought a record, you bought an album.
Mm.
Well, you had to listen to all the songs on the album.
Yeah.
Even the ones where they went, oh, this might be a bit cat.
To get song to 11. The next one.
But you're like, but I've got to listen to it. I'm not standing up and jumping it.
Yeah.
It's like, we're starting off, you know, it wasn't necessarily, you had to listen to the whole, if it was a concept album, it was a whole thing. Yeah, I think you're right. I think she is a bit of a victim of that.
That, and then also with social media, you're constantly seeing lives of others.
Yes.
You compare. And women, my girlfriend was telling me this, they always compare the women to what other women have or what other people in, you know, job roles have.
Do you not think everyone does, though?
I think, everybody...
Yeah, but it's much more now.
They have a clock as don't they?
So I wouldn't know what... It still gets me now. And you won't have this, but it still gets me, is when someone knows what someone's done at the weekend and they haven't been told. So they've put it on Insta and they go, great, oh my word, it looked fabulous. What looked fabulous?
Yeah.
Well, you know, that tent you were in at the weekend with the fire and the view. And it's, so imagine years ago, if I hadn't told you, you didn't know.
Yeah.
So it almost felt almost like, it's a good point, almost like she was on a dating app as well.
Mm. Yeah.
So she went past the next party and went, oh, there might be someone else in here. And I think you're right.
But interestingly, how she met them was all the old-fashioned way.
So are you
saying... didn't meet them, the boys, the men.
Yeah, yeah,
she didn't meet them on an app or on the phone or anything. She met them the old-fashioned way and she had a connection with them.
Yeah. So
until society has told us to move on. So
is she the worst person in the world or is she a victim of society?
Victim of society, in my opinion.
Whilst we continue that debate, let's take a quick break and then we'll come back and give our ratings from the film.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Back from the break, Ben, last pick of the series, which means it's your last rating of the series. Worst person in the world, where is it for you?
I loved this film the first time I watched it. And I didn't like it as much on the second watch. Or third watch, I think I've seen it. I loved it because I didn't know what was going to happen. I found that fascinating debate about, after the film, I remember talking with my wife, exactly how we talked about. Mm. Is she bad? Is she a commitment phobe? What's it saying about society? And I think it's heartbreaking at the end. I really do. I was.
She doesn't go and see him when she knows he's about to die. That's quite harsh, isn't it?
Yeah.
Do you hate her?
I don't hate her. I just remember feeling like, oh, it's one of those things where you'd go.
She's a bit helpless, isn't she?
Yeah. If you could go back, if she could go back. She has so much, this character. She has so much going for her. And at each point, she drops it for the next thing. And I think it is what you're talking about. A kind of reflection on society dropped for the next.
Mm.
The next thing will be better.
Yeah.
The next thing will be right.
Constant.
And actually, it's that old adage, is the grass is greener where you water it.
Yeah.
And she doesn't water that relationship she gets with Axel.
She doesn't water the relationship when she gets
No, yeah. she doesn't. And I really feel for her, for my father. I really feel for Matt. I really, really think it's a beautiful performance from her.
Yeah, she's great.
I think she's... She says so much with so little, so nuanced.
He's amazing, Askell.
Yeah.
He's really, really amazing.
Really good. He's a doctor in real life.
That's one of...
And an actor.
Is it? That's one of the best performances I've seen for a long time, him.
I just thought those two together, and even when they have sex, when they break up, it's like, it feels like real. They still love each other. Yeah. But she's just seen the next thing. And until she does that, it's not going to be right. So I think it would have been very close to a 10 for me when I first watched it. But actually, I'm going to change to... I still think it's a very, very good film, but I'm going to go to a 9.
Shepherd, do you want to go next?
First time I've watched it, I really enjoyed it. Interesting that you said the first time you watched it, you'd have thought it was a 10, because all the way today I was thinking 10. And I'm probably still going to stick with a 10. But it is only my first watch. Interesting that yours changed.
Yeah, I think it was more that I knew the reveal.
Right, okay.
I knew the reveal each time. Okay. And I don't, yeah.
The power of the story diminished a little bit.
Just a bit. Yeah. I just said to Alex, I just saw it more mechanically.
Okay, yeah.
I saw things fold in more mechanically than I had the first watch.
Yeah.
But, yeah. But when I first did it, yeah, absolutely, it was a 10. That's why I suggested it.
Yeah, yeah.
So you're saying 10?
I think so, yeah. I think because I think what this guy's come up with, the writer, director, and I expected it to be a book originally, especially with the chapters, the way everything, I thought, and the way how it's narrated.
Yeah.
I expected it to be a book originally.
A dark romance.
The fact that the writer and director, it's the same person, and he's wrote it for his mate. I think it's a brilliant, very clever idea on today's society and relationships today.
Yeah.
I think how they can affect people in a way that the grass isn't always greener. And she never, and still in the film, she never realises. I don't even think she ever realises what she could have had or...
I think at the moment, at the very end, there is a slight... Because she's a photographer on a film set, so she's not even... She's photographing other people doing their job.
Yeah.
And I think there is that moment at the end when she goes, oh.
Mm.
It's like sliding doors moment, isn't it?
Yeah.
That could have been my future.
Yeah. I think for me, the ending gave you a feeling of, well, it almost doesn't end, you know. She's in this cycle.
Mm.
And it's... She's that probably is
I really felt her for life her. Because I really of felt for her.
Her personality and the way she is.
At the end, didn't you? I really felt for her. I really was like, my heart sank a bit and thought, it's a hard lesson.
I was desperate to watch this film after seeing the trailer in summer. Like, I think it was probably May time, and I was really desperate to watch it. And never did, so this was the first time I got around to watching it. And I don't think it was quite what I was expecting. There was a lot in it that I appreciated and understood. Mm. And sometimes with those subtitles films, you kind of fill in some of the gaps yourself in your head, don't you? Because you're almost creating the characters as you're reading them, which is kind of what's nice. Whereas this, it kind of paints that picture, paints that line for you very strongly.
Mm.
I think it's only an 8 for me. I just think there was something in it that I didn't quite... I don't know if it was a second relationship, you know. I would have liked to have seen that build to even more when she broke all that. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. I mean, if it's an 8, it's an 8. Like, if that's the way you feel, that's the way you feel. But I think that as a film which is a very gentle look at a snapshot of someone's life, that fitted. I think if she'd gone too hard, too high, it wouldn't have fitted with everything else.
I've never seen a film like that in my life, though. As, like, close to the bone as true.
Mm. Yeah. I think, actually, weirdly, at times, a foreign film, a subtitled film, can do that.
Yeah.
Because you actually do put in more to them. Sometimes.
I think if that you're reading it as well, and sometimes when you're reading the words that they're saying, you take it in again.
Yeah.
So you not only see the performance and hear the performance, you're reading the performance. Yeah. So you're getting it a lot.
Yeah.
So it affects you more. My girlfriend was in buckets watching this film. She said, "You can tell Ben Price is a fucking wanker for making her sit through this and watch it." Oh, it completely broke her heart.
Really?
The whole film.
Why?
Massively. She loved it. She loved the film.
Yeah.
But she was in a state at the end of it. Yeah. She was in buckets.
Yeah. Oh, I cried the first time I watched it. Without a doubt. I think what's beautiful is, Coulson, is now coming, you know, the end of, what's it, series 6, you're able to talk quite eloquently about a subtitled film which is only based on relationship.
Mm. Yeah.
When you think about Kramer, where we were with Kramer, which
Sloppy
is Sloppy Six, which is a relationship film, which more happens.
It's miles better than Kramer. It's in a different league.
Yeah, but
it's a very, very good film. Yeah.
But
an eight.
It's a very, very good for eight.
But
it's a very, very good film.
But listen up, I've been quite hard to impress this series. Mm. And that's 27. It's third in the leaderboard.
Oof.
That's your highest film of this series.
Oof.
I think you should be happy with that.
I'd take that.
So I gave you Kez. Big guns.
It's above Kez. You did. You gave me 10, yeah. Jack. I can't believe that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Very good.
27 out of 30 for Ben's driver. Last pick of the series. Not bad at all.
Really good film, I think. I'm really glad we watched it and we properly gave it a good...
Yeah.
A good go.
Yeah.
And if you do want to give it a watch and you found it hard to get hold of, it is on Mubi. I think if you use our code, you can get 30 days for free. So
yeah, what's the code again?
Just Mubi/show for cinema club.
Perfect.
And you'll find it there.
And actually, I'm not saying this, just, they do have some great films. They do. They pick some good films. Mm.
Jack, what's the gem this week?
The gem this week, if you came to our live show, it's the same gem.
No more gems. I'm not giving you any extra gems.
I think I know what's coming, Ben, do you?
I think
I was in the show as well.
It's The White Lotus Season 2. That's the hidden gem, of course. It's on your Sky Atlantics, your Now TVs, all that.
White Lotus was one of your original gems, wasn't it?
White Lotus was, and I got you two onto it, and you two loved it, didn't you?
Brilliant.
Not
brilliant.
Seen the second series.
Did we do White Lotus as a flat watch?
Me and you watched it together.
We did. You two did.
Yeah.
We did it as a flat watch.
Season 2, it's the same writer-director, Mike White, who we know wrote School of Rock.
Yeah.
He's wrote, created, and directed. Ned Schneebly.
Ned Schneebly.
Yeah. Yep.
Mr. Schneebly.
It's the same chain hotel, the White Lotus.
Yeah. Where's this one?
It's in Sicily.
Yeah. So the last one's the last one's Hawaii.
Yeah.
Yes, I think it is. Yeah. This is Sicily.
In Italy.
So it's new characters.
Apart from
Jennifer Coolidge, she's flying over.
With that lad who she got with at the end of series one.
Yes. She got her mum's ashes with her?
No, she scattered them, didn't she?
Do you remember it went into her face?
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah,
very funny. Very funny.
4 episodes are available to watch now. They release them
weekly,
every Monday. Yeah,
do they?
They're starting to do that more, you know.
I like it. Old
I think
school.
It's much better. Old school.
They're doing
it
with Gangs of London as well, aren't they?
Yeah, every week. Yeah. Every week they've done it. They did it with that old man.
They do it with Corrie
on Disney. They do it. It might
every
do
week,
what?
All week, every week.
It might catch on.
Might catch on.
Jack, that's not the only thing you've got to tell us, because you've also got to tell us what your last film for series 6 is.
My last pick. I was mulling over this. I was trying to think of a film that's different to what I've been picking.
Before you do give it,
when
we talk about what have you been picking this series, Ben, he has slightly chased the ratings, hasn't he?
Only with one.
Debatable.
No, he's chased the ratings. What happened was, we had a bit of an incident with Crash.
Yeah, we did.
And
that was
speaking,
a shit part.
When we're talking a bit of an incident, it's just above Talladega Nights.
But below Halloween?
Yeah.
Yeah, you had a thing there with Giant, Crash, and then, no, Crash was the one you went, right, I'm going big guns, Taxi Driver.
Yeah, I did, yeah.
Yeah.
I pulled it back with Taxi Driver.
And City of God.
City of God was, you know,
yes,
my
could have gone either way.
One.
Yeah,
great tune, Kung Fu Fighting.
What?
It's got that tune in.
Has it?
Everybody was Kung Fu
Does
Fighting.
It? I can't remember that.
Has it?
Yeah.
Now, I'm going a classic. I don't think you've seen these films, Coulson.
These films?
These films.
Oh, it's not Star Wars.
It is Star Wars.
I tell you what, there's going to be some very happy people out there.
It's Star Wars 2.
But I've not seen the first one.
I know. But fuck you. I'm not arsed.
Fuck you.
I'm picking.
Fuck you. I'm chasing ratings.
So, hang on, what
Empire.
Do I do, though? Right. I've not seen the first one.
It's Empire Strikes Back.
But I haven't got a clue who's who.
We have
Don't
to
matter.
Watch it.
Don't matter.
I'm watching 2, Phil. I ain't got bloody time
right,
for that.
Forget number 1. You actually don't need it. Go Empire Strikes
or
Back.
Or just watch 2 back-to-back Disney Plus. They're only an hour and a half each.
Oh, are they?
They're about that, yeah.
Yeah, they're only quick watch.
Is that a big pick?
Yeah, I suppose,
yeah. He's got big ratings. Because I noticed that I'm more at the top. That's what I've noticed now.
Yeah,
so Jack's trying to pull
there,
up there. It's a big pick. Look,
there's lots to talk about. It's a massive film for me because this is my childhood.
Okay.
Proper childhood.
This is film. Your Hannah Montana.
Yeah. I mean, imagine being a kid seeing this for the first time. It was revolutionary. So, yeah, big pick. Big pick.
Just a little update on how it's going to go in the next couple of weeks then. So next week is Jack's pick, which is Star Wars number 2.
Yeah.
Then the 8th of December, we are going to have a listener's choice episode, the last listener's choice of the series. The week after, the 15th of December, the three of us are banging our heads together to pick a Christmas film. It's going to be tough, that, isn't it? We've got to agree.
Do we have to pick a Christmas film?
Yeah.
Because surely the last 22nd is a Christmas
film. Well, if you listen, to me on the 22nd, the Christmas film will be picked by the audience.
Two Christmas
films. Yeah, yeah.
Double Christmas. I don't know if you know, but Christmas is a big thing, Jack. I don't know if you've ever come across it.
Are you recording yours while you're... No, before you go away.
We'll done it before I've gone, yeah.
Yeah, Christmas, double up Christmas.
So that is your last 4 weeks of Soap Cinema Club of 2022.
Well, what a year. What a year.
What a year. Mm. I'm sure on Patreon we'll be doing a review of the year, won't we? We'll probably be having a big quiz of the year like we normally do. And if you want a bit of Patreon, it is really easy to get involved. You just got to go on over to www.patreon.com/SoapCinemaClub. On there you'll find two tiers. So Patreon is our paid for subscription platform. It's where we put out loads of bonus content of Soap Cinema Club. Each month we run a special episode, and at the end of the year that will be a review on all things Soap Cinema Club and all things films in 2022. It's ran by Jack and it will feature Shut Your Mouth and Listen to This, won't it?
Where
you ask us some special questions about what we've done in film this year. And there are four people who have signed up to Patreon this week, which means there are four people who need jobs.
Right, I'm going straight off with one we won't have a job for, so I'm going for James Bayliss.
Bollocks. That's the one I've got a name for. That's the one I've got a job for, yeah.
I thought that's the one you wouldn't.
Well, Bayliss is hair straighteners.
That's Babyliss.
Close enough.
Head of hair straighteners.
Yep. Head of hair products. I was going
James
for.
Bayliss, which sounds like Babyliss.
No, I think there's a really cheap hair company called, spelt the way his name is.
Oh, well done, James. You're head of hair products.
Head of hair products. Oh, that was the only one I was going for.
I've got Hannah Non-Tanner.
I think that might be. Is that a spelling mistake, producer Henry?
No, that's her handle, isn't it?
Okay.
Real name, Hannah Reed.
Her real name is Hannah Reed, cleaner. Window cleaner.
I've got Katie Harston, head of radio mics.
That's good.
Very good.
Nice. And
only proper job I think you'll find.
I've got Steve McConnell.
Yeah.
Who is head of McDonald's.
Oh, no,
that's shite. Even by your standards, that's shit.
You can't say head of McDonald's.
You can't be the head of McDonald's. Well, you need a job.
He is. He's head of McDonald's.
No, but what's that to do? What's McDonald's to do with our job? With our studio?
What's fucking blacksmith to do with that?
because we have a horse section, don't we? We haven't got McDonald's.
No, you don't have McDonald's in a film company.
You know our canteen? Yeah? Ian Watsey's been in touch. Yeah. The canteen's overrun. So I've sublet a bit out. And we've got a McDonald's, we've got a Subway, we've got like the Trafford Centre.
Steve McConnell is head of McDonald's.
He's the team manager. He's the team leader at McDonald's.
He's worth billions.
In the canteen.
Has he got five stars?
He's team leader. He's got 3.5 stars.
3.5 stars.
Yeah.
On the badge.
Yeah, on his badge. Mm. So when you want lunch, Jack loves a Big Mac. If you want lunch, you can go anywhere now. You've got Michael Cook in the kitchen. You got Steve McConnell, franchiser of the
amazed.
McDonald's.
They need new Patreon members. They need new jobs in our film studio stroke cinema. Steve McConnell, and now he's head of McDonald's.
If you want in on the action, like I said, it's really easy to do so. Go on over to the special website that is www.patreon.com/SoapCinemaClub. We are back on Monday for Soap Cinema Club Extraterrestrial, and then we're jumping on the spaceship for Star Wars on Thursday.
Yeah, we are. We're on the Millennium Falcon.
We will see you then. Good night. God bless. Bye-bye. Good night.
Bye.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Hey, folks, it's Mark Maron from WTF. I've been talking to all kinds of famous people in my garage since 2009, including a sitting president.
You know, I don't imagine you were flying in here on the chopper thinking like, you know, I am nervous about Mark.
No, I wasn't.
Okay, well, that's good.
That would be a problem.
It would be a problem.
If the president was feeling stressed about
coming to my garage.
Coming to your garage.
And now there's even more WTF when you subscribe to the full Marin to get weekly bonus content and all WTF episodes ad-free. Listen to WTF wherever you get podcasts and subscribe to the full Marin at go.acast.com/WTF.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.